You know, today is a wonderful day. We get to celebrate mothers. Amen. And I'm going to talk about mothers. I'm going to talk about some ways some of you younger parents can, younger ladies can become great mothers. You know, because when you first become a mother, it's not that I've ever been one. But I have been a father for the first time, and it's got to be a whole lot like the mother's thoughts. Is, what do we do now? I mean, you know, we had our first child way before there was FaceTime, so you could get mom on the phone to FaceTime her to see, well, this is what they look like, and, you know, well, they're blue, and what do we do now kind of thing, and is their poop supposed to smell this bad and look this like this, mom? We didn't get to do all that, And so we trial and error sometimes. Amen. Come on, somebody. And so we didn't have a WebMD. Come on. We had here's an aspirin, you'll get better. Let mama kiss it. Come on. And I was thinking about the song. I know this is not very spiritual, but I just got to say it because it comes in my head. This is why we can't do live church here. But we were singing this song, There's Stories I Live to Tell, and I was reflecting back on some of the things that my mother, I thought I would never live through, but I lived to tell them. Hey, man, come on, somebody. Y'all's mama didn't whoop you like my mama whooped me. I mean, glory to God. I mean, my mama whooped. You hear me? That's right. And when mama had to whoop you, y'all have heard me say this, when mama had to whoop you, and if it had to get bad for mama to whoop you. If mama whooped you, you was getting whooping from dad because mom had to. Well, that don't even seem fair. I mean, that don't make good sense to me, but dad already got one. He said, yeah, but you inconvenienced your mother. Because you know why? My dad, listen to me, I doesn't want to say this. My dad respected his wife, and you as a child would respect her as a mother. Amen. And he laid down the law, and it stuck. You hear me? It took me a few more times than my other siblings, but my dad would always say that there is a direct link between your buttocks and your brain. With enough pressure applied to your buttocks, you will learn. And so I learned a few things in my childhood, and I get to do something that very few people get to do in their lifetime. It's going to happen for me the first day of June. My mother and father are going to celebrate 60 years of marriage. And she called me the other day and said, I want you to perform the ceremony. Now, how many of you get to do that? I mean, that's a pretty neat little deal. And so I said, well, Mom, what do you want to do? And she says, I don't know, I guess something similar to what we did the first time because it's been working. I said, well, amen, I like that, 60 years. And I wasn't there, you know, so amen. But she did tell me, she said that my dad's best man is still alive and he's going to attend. Oh, wow. And their ring bearer is still alive and he's going to attend. And I said, well, but what about your maid of honor? She said, she ain't living, so let's don't go down there. So, but they're up in age, 79 and 76. And so I'm excited about that. Being able to speak a few things that I never got to from a position of authority into my mother and father. She told me, though, she did tell me this. She said, now, son, I don't want you to do anything crazy. My response was, Mother, do you think I would do anything like that? And she said, that's why I made the statement, son. I said, okay. So anyway, we're going to have a good time. And I thought that's kind of fitting to be able to speak at your mother and father's renewal, whatever you want to call it. What would you call that, Sam? Renewal, yeah. Wedding renewal vows or something. And I thought, man, how do you do that, though? How do you tell your mom and dad how to do this thing when they've been doing it right for 60 years? Come on, I've never heard my mom and dad argue out loud ever in my life. I know they have. I'm sure they have. They're human. Yeah. She had me. She had to argue somewhere with something. She was aggravated and mad sometime. I guarantee it. but I've never heard them argue. I've never seen them get mad at each other at home, in the living room. I'm sure they did, but I've never seen it. Never heard my dad, watch this, now come on, now I'm going to speak to the husband. I never heard my dad raise his voice at my mother. You know why? Because he knew that he was teaching three boys and a young girl. This is how you ought to treat your mother. This is how you treat a wife. Oh, I'm tying all this together directly. But he set an example. It's Mother's Day. But men, do you understand that you have a great responsibility on how your children and the world views your wife or a mother? Come on, somebody. I'm going to prove it to you scripturally in a minute. And so I want to bring this word today, a short word. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you ever, like on today, I reflect. And so when today started coming, and I started preparing for this, and I knew today was coming because it's Mother's Day, I started thinking about some Mother's Day things. You ever do that? You think about some times you had with your mother, something that special that happened, or maybe that one thing that you can never get out of your mind that was just between you and your mom. I mean, I got this one thing that I'll never forget about my mom. I mean, if everything leaves my memory, this one thing I think is etched there forever. And it was one time we were coming home from church because everything we did was church. You hear me? It was all about God. It was just everything was centered around God in the church. And we were coming home, and we always liked to. There was four of us kids, and we had a Pontiac Bonneville. Glory to God. But 4 miles long, take three parking lots, turn it around here. Amen. And I remember coming home from church, and there was four of us, and so the sister, which is young, she always used to get to sit in the front. This is before you had car seats, come on somebody, in freedom days. And amen. There wasn't even enough seats in a car to buckle everybody in, okay? But somebody got to sit in the front, and we would take turns. And I always remember when we come home from church on Sunday night. That's when we had church on Sunday night. Now we got so religious, we don't need it on Sunday night. We just do it all the time. Thank God for grace, because some of us are laying on it thick. But anyway, this is a different message. And so it was my time to sit in the front coming home. And we lived 13 miles from the church, and 12.8 miles was gravel road. Come on, somebody. And so you didn't go fast. And I remember getting to sit in the front. And if you got to sit in the front, you got to lay your head in mama's lap. And my mom, some of you, a lot of you know my mother. My mother, she's big boned. Come on, somebody. She whooped most of you men in here. Come on right now today, amen. She just said she's big boned. She was strong. And I remember laying my head in her lap, and her somewhat masculine hands would rub. I did have hair then, so don't make it. Don't. And she would take her fingers and rub my hair, and I'd fall asleep, and it was the best sleep. And I remember in my mind thinking, I wish this car ride could last forever. Because I was with Mama, I didn't have a care in the world, and she put me in the most peaceful spot I'd been in ever in my life. And I just looked so forward to that. And I think mothers can do that to our kids. Mothers ought to be able to do that to our kids. Come on, somebody. I want to talk to you today about some things that you can pull right from the scripture to make you a godly woman. Now, a godly woman is something special. There's mothers, and there's mothers, and there's godly mothers. And I believe that godly mothers, man, there's something special about a godly mother. And in Proverbs 31, verse 10, a godly woman. If you're looking for a husband, I see Scotty and Jason, y'all, John. Who else we got in here single looking for a woman? I mean, come on, somebody. And so I'm gonna give you some traits. And see, I'm gonna preach to everybody today. I'm gonna give you some things you need to look for. Okay, and some of you women that need a husband, I'm gonna show you some things that if you practice these, you'll get you a godly husband. Come on, somebody. Hey, come on. Number one, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 says, who can find a virtuous and capable wife? It's a question. It says, she is more precious than rubies. So I'll say that, keep that in the back of your mind. But to the man looking to marry, if you have to continually buy things to make your girl happy, she's not a godly woman. Because a godly woman must be found. She cannot be bought. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. Come on. A godly woman is not impressed by what you have, although it does help. Come on, somebody. I fooled my wife. Right before we got married, I gave her it was my car, going to be hers directly because we was going to get married, and what I had was nothing of mine anymore. It's hers. You know how that works. And so her vehicle got torn up. I said, well, just take mine. And boy, she liked that. Boy, it's a nice ride, too. It was nice. And boy, she thought, boy, I didn't know this is going to be all right for me. Boy, was she surprised when she got to look at the banking account. We didn't have none. I was hocked to the gills, man. Come on, somebody. I didn't buy her, though. Because if it had been based on material things, we'd have left a long time ago. Can I tell you, we just celebrated 34 years, and she's a godly woman. My wife is a godly woman. And these things help. So if you're looking in from the materialistic thing, from the secular view, that you can't find that person. You got to look in through God's word to find that virtuous woman, that one that is upright, that holds herself right, that carries herself right in the sight of God, not in the sight of man. There's a difference. The world has an idea of what a good woman ought to be, and then there's God's idea. And God's idea is always different than man's. A pastor said this, Greg Laurie, he said it this way. He says, the two most important decisions you'll ever make in life are these two. Number one is the Lord you serve. Can we say amen? And number two is the woman you marry. Come on, men, can I get an amen? The woman you marry, and here's some explanation. Because the Lord you serve will determine whether you have heaven or hell after you die. But the woman you marry determines whether you have heaven or hell while you live. Come on, somebody. It's real. I'm just real with you, right? The Bible says it's better to live on the corner of a rooftop than in under the roof with a cantankerous woman. I'm not preaching against you, ladies. I'm just giving you some guidelines. I didn't come up with them. The Bible says that you could be cantankerous. That was a good amen for men, but boy, y'all are smart. Nobody said a word. You, amen. You're catching on. A godly woman is trustworthy. I do more counseling over being or not being trusted than I do anything right now. You know what the thing that keeps people from being trusting each other? You know what it is? These devices. The number one thing that I talk to them about is, what does your wife or husband have the passcode to your phone? Oh, no. Well, why not? Well, I've got stuff on there. Well, what kind of stuff? Hey, I want to tell you, it's just as much women as it is men. Trustworthy. You know, you got to be trustworthy. To be a godly woman, you got to be trustworthy. If you want your kids to respect you, you got to be trustworthy. Come on. If you want your husband to trust you, you got to be trustworthy. If you want the best in your marriage, you got to have trust. I've known people that didn't have trust in their marriage, and oh, what a mess. I've always trusted my wife. I've never doubted my wife. She's never doubted me. Why? Because when we got married, we just trusted each other before, and we trust each other now. We don't do anything to keep that trust from being broken. My wife is actually the one who said, Marty, you need to put a passcode. This crazy thing here. You got to put a passcode on your iPad. And I said, why? I said, you can look at anything. She says, not for me. There's things on here that I have that you just don't want some people to know that's related to the church and stuff. So I have a passcode on here. I'm not ashamed. My wife wants to come up with the passcode. She needs to know she can trust me. I need to know that I can trust her as the mother of my children and the grandmother of my grandchildren. She's got to be trustworthy. Let me give you a scripture. Proverbs 31:11 says, her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. Come on, men. Amen. You get a trustworthy wife, and it helps you. You're looking for qualities in a wife, and guess what? Those qualities end up blessing you. So you look for a trustworthy wife, and in turn, it enriches your life. Well, you can't lose with that. You don't have to go through headache, turmoil, and all this stuff, and you get a blessed life. That's pretty good. Amen. Okay. Now look, I don't know all of your story, but some of you have been in some bad marriages before. Come on, somebody. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's come on, Scotty. Come on, Scotty, only trustworthy one. What's the truthful one in here? Amen. A godly woman, watch this now. A godly woman does not embarrass or talk negative of her husband to others. Mm-mm. Some of y'all need to repent. Come on, somebody. You know, the Bible says that you're not supposed to do that, that you don't talk negative of your husband, mamas and women. Don't get me wrong. Look, men, your message is coming up in about 4 weeks. So you better say amen right now, because these women are going to say amen in a few weeks, and they're going to outdo you, because I ain't easy on you either. Amen. 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 Proverbs 31:12 says, she brings him good and not harm. Amen. Watch this. How long? All the days of her life. Man, I'm giving you some ammunition you can go home with, but boy, how you present it is really up to you. And it can have a good outcome or a bad outcome. Women, you should not be belittling your husband in front of others. The Bible says it. That you're to bring him good. Well, Pastor, I've been looking for good and I hadn't found it yet. Well, keep looking. It's in there somewhere. Come on, peel back another layer. It's down in there. There's something good about him somewhere. If you can't say, my mama, you say, if you can't say something good, don't say nothing at all. That's hard sometimes, ain't it? Amen? Amen. So a godly woman talks well of her husband. So, Scotty, if you're looking for that woman and she talks bad about you, she ain't for you. Amen? Amen? But if she's talking good about you, then how good looking you are, and that your hair's always sharp and neat and in place and all that, and you look sharp, hey, pick up on that, man. Run with that, okay? Amen. It has been said that a mother can teach patience and anticipation with one sentence. You ready for it? Wait till your father gets home. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but my mother, I think she coined that phrase. When your father gets home, and that's all she had to say. I knew it was not going to be good. She taught me to be reverent of her, but she also told me that there's an anticipation that sometimes you don't want to receive. How many of you ever had a dad that whooped you with a belt? One of them thick belts. Like a razor strap thick belt. Now, my dad primarily kept it to that, okay? But I'm telling you, anywhere from the belt to the ankles was fair game to him. The more you moved, he wasn't responsible for where he hit you. Come on, somebody. I could jump around pretty good. My dad whooped me and never miss a beat. Come on. Wow. Why did he do that? Because I had done something to my mother. I had not obeyed or done something another, and she had to tell Dad. My dad was serious about you respecting his wife, your mother. I think we've lost that in American society today. I don't know about around the world. I don't live there. I'm just going to say right here in this little corner of where we live, we've lost the respect of our mothers because we, watch this, because I'm going to preach this next time too for fathers, because we've lost fatherhood in the church and in the house. Amen. A godly woman manages her household. Now, don't get mad at me and say, well, you just want us to cook and clean and do the laundry. Don't go there, okay? Some of you have to work. Amen. I get it. Amen. I'm talking about managing a household. Sometimes that management is, Pam, you tell Ralph to do that laundry while you're busy. Ralph, he just smiling, just looking at him. Watch this. Proverbs 31:13 says this, that she finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She is like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. In other words, she manages the home. It is the responsibility of the woman to manage the home. It is the responsibility of the man to be the priest of the home, not to lord over, but to come along beside. Come on, somebody. I make no decisions in my house. The only decision I make in my house without my wife's advice is taking a shower. She has everything planned out. Let me tell you, can I talk to me? Can I talk to you about me a little bit? So in my house, I don't have to make decisions, Arvell. I make zero decisions. When I go to take a shower, my wife has a clothes hamper right there in my closet in my bathroom. And she tells me, the clothes hamper's in it, you fill it up. That's your job. Not in the floor. I know now because she's trained me well. When I get out of the shower, I close the shower curtain or the door. Why? Because she didn't want mold and stuff to grow on the inside of that shower curtain. Why? Because she's got to clean it. She knows I'm not. So she manages me well. Am I making a point? And so I try to let her manage the house. Really, she's just managing me. But once you get this concept that a woman can manage you and the household at the same time, men, you're better off. Come on, women, you need a different approach. Now, men, don't fall for this foolishness that if you wash more dishes, your wife gets turned on, because that's a lie. A woman wrote that some time ago and published it by another woman. Come on, somebody. It doesn't work. I've washed a lot of dishes. I've washed the white right off of a white plate. Didn't affect my wife none. Come on, somebody. You can have fun in church. This is real stuff, though. Proverbs 31:19 says, her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. What is she doing? She's taking care of the house. She is doing the things necessary so that the family can function normally. That's what this really means. Back then, they were actually spinning and doing yarn and all that stuff. They were physically doing that. It was a job. But she managed this. Why did she do that? Because she had input in the family, in the home, just like the man had some input in the home. Okay? And so she had a job to do, and the man had a job. Women, you have a job to do. Mothers, there's just something about mamas. There's something about grandmothers. I can say something about great-grandmothers, aren't they? My kids, you can ask my grandkids. Who do you love most, Papa or Nina? Without question and hesitation. Nina, you can give them a $20 bill and say, who do you love more, Papa or Nina? And say, Nina, how does that work? I just gave you $20. My oldest is 6 years old. She's a female. She's learning fast that she can manipulate men. Number one, her papa. I feel sorry for her husband. Come on, somebody. She's going to be one of them high-maintenance children, women. Proverbs 31, 21 says, she has no fear of winter for her household, for everyone has warm clothes. Now, we typically don't work. We don't even think about that anymore. But back years ago, they didn't have, this is before y'all were born, most of you, didn't have heating and air in your house. How many of you grew up and didn't have heating and air? Whether it be a window unit or something. So a few of us, the rest of you are privileged people. I remember one time, look here, I'm going to tell you. I remember one time we moved from a house that didn't have central heat and air. We just had a couple of window units, and they were pathetic at best because there was no insulation in the wall. And we moved uptown, what we called uptown. There's probably 300 people in town. And we moved into this big, nice, pretty house. And they asked my mother, we was at church one day, said, hey, what do you like about your new house? She said, the air conditioning. They said, what? She said, yeah, sometimes I'll just sit on the couch and listen to it click on and off. I thought, the little things in life. She was proud that she didn't have to lay 9 blankets on. You know, I slept in a house where when you got up, your feet was like this in the morning time. You had so many blankets on you just to stay warm. But it's those little, she managed the household. Women, you manage your household so that things are in place, so that there's not hiccups and stuff. Amen? We manage the house, and when Cooper comes over, Cooper's now learned to walk. And when Cooper comes over, and Levi's a little, he can be there too now, but Cooper, he still stumbles a little, and he grabs onto things to hold on. The number one thing he likes to hang on to till he falls all the way to the ground is the trash can. Wow. And he looks at you and you say, Cooper, what are you doing? He's looking at you smiling. You can't get on to him. What do we have to do? My wife, when I come home, because he stays with us on Friday, when I come home, you know what she's got? She's got the trash can set up on the counter. Thinking, isn't that kind of nasty? I didn't say that. I said I was thinking that. Put it wherever you want to. She's managing the house. What's she doing? She's managing, putting things in place before they happen so they don't happen again. Yeah. I don't want to clean it up. Come on, somebody. She don't want to clean it up, so what does she do? She manages. Godly women manage. Go on, I'm trying to build you up here. Godly women manage. So, husband, if you go in and you see things different, you say, she's managing the house. And you go on about your business. Don't you say that ain't yours. Come on. If she rearranges the furniture and you liked it a different way, you said, she's managing. There's a reason. She's just managing. I'm just here. Amen? Women, I should get some amens from you every now and then. Amen? A godly woman, come on, watch this now, is not lazy. Woo! That wasn't real loud there, Wayne. A godly woman is not like Proverbs 31, 27. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. That's a godly. If your woman is lazy, watch out. That's not godly. The Bible says she doesn't suffer. A godly woman doesn't suffer from laziness. If you've got to tell your wife to get up and go shower every night, she's lazy. Something's wrong with that picture. Come on, somebody. If you have to constantly tell your wife, you need to wash the dishes. Why? Well, because we're out of glasses and plates and forks and spoons. If you run out of forks and spoons at my house, guess what? There's some dirty dishes because we move forks to get to the good fork that you want. I mean, we got forks and spoons for days. And if you run out, it's because the family comes over, we had a gathering, or you just lazy. Amen. I'm preaching better than you're amening me. I know it's a little fun, but hey, what do you do on Mother's Day? You can preach next year. A godly woman is identified from the inside out and not from the outside in. Now, how many of you as men, some of you can say, most of the time we think a woman is going to be okay by the way she looks on the outside. Ain't a man but Jacob, and his wife ain't even in here. Ain't a man in this house shaking a head except Jacob. Come on, men. You look at a woman and say, she could probably work. You look at somebody that may not look that way on the outside, say, she gonna work. That's what society does. We look at people from the outside in instead of from the inside out. The Bible says this at Proverbs 31:30. It says, charm is deceptive. And beauty does not last. Glory to God. I mean, I look in the mirror and I think, how are these other people getting so old? Last year, we had a reunion, and my brother, not a family, but a high school basketball team reunion, and he sent me a picture of everybody that I didn't get to go. And there was several of them that was there. And I said, well, who's this guy? Who's this third from the left and all this? He said, well, that's so-and-so and so. I said, man, they look so different. And I go look in the mirror and think, you know, they wouldn't know me either. I had hair. Wasn't as thick. I looked different. The Bible says, hey, men, don't look at a woman from the outside, but look from the inside, because the beauty is not going to last. It's going to sag and droop. But a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. It's on the inside. Come on, somebody. It's on the inside that we should look for the quality of a godly woman. If she happens to have good looks, go along with it. Say, hey, you scored. Whoa. You're not the home run. Grand slam. Amen. What is that old saying? Beauty's only skin deep. Ugly goes slap to the bone. If you thinking that you get married and your husband and or wife is going to look this way 30 years from now, please, if you've only been married a little bit, I wish Michael was here, set an appointment with me 30 years from now. Bring a picture of what y'all look like right now, and let's sit down and we'll talk about your mental problems, okay? Because it ain't gonna be right. I look at pictures, I'll tell you this, and I'm gonna close it. My wife and I, we were youth pastors before we were pastors, and we had these kids, they were always at the house. I mean, heavenly, it was girls like you and guys that you're, they were always at the house. I mean, all the time. So much so that, well, Danielle was at our house, Francis's daughter, always at the house. And one of the girls got into this thing. Now, some of young folks don't know this. We used to have albums. They're called wedding albums. They were books. And you opened this big thing up, took up, you know, that much of the coffee table. That was the thing you put in the middle of the coffee table. And you could have pictures, and you look through those pictures, okay? And one of these young ladies had got into the cabinet where we kept this and keep this, and she was looking, and she went into to kitchen, and she said, Miss Tina, she whispered, Miss Tina, I didn't know you was married before you were married to Mr. Martin. She said, what? She said, yeah, I didn't know that. She said, baby, I hadn't been married before Marty. She said, well, who's the guy in the photo album? She said, oh, that's just him with hair. Long time ago. You change. You can resist it. You can do all these things, but you're going to change the way you look. You're going to want to stay the same. I told myself I would never, ever, ever, ever get to a 36 pants. Boy, I superseded my goal. You hear me? Went right on past that. I didn't pass go, didn't get $200. I went right on past it. My point is, you change, and if you're looking for a godly woman from the outside, you're going to be sadly mistaken later on in life. It's going to change. Men, come on. So look for the inside. What's she going to be spiritually? How's God going to mold her? Well, you know what? That determines how you lead your home. She manages the household, but you're the priest of the home. That determines, that man will determine a lot of times how godly or how much involved with God that the woman is. The man determines that. Woo! Men, it ain't even Father's Day yet. But you determine a lot. You determine, men, how mothers turn out. Men, you determine how your wife turns out later on. You're a factor. Matter of fact, you're half of it. I tell people when they get married, I told Mackenzie and Michael, it's not a 50-50 thing. It's 100% and 100%. If you're only giving 50%, what do you expect? Something great, some great marriage and everything. You're going to you're going to go to the beach every year and you're going to hold hands and you're going to always be this way? No. If you're only giving 50%, that's what you come up with. You just come up with half the marriage you could have had. But if you give 100 and 100, man, you get a great marriage. And sometimes that giving out like that means you got to close this up. Men, that's not hard for me. Women, it's not hard for you either. To the fathers and children, I want to make this address. Proverbs 31:28 says this, her children stand and bless her, and her husband praises her. Boy, I could go somewhere right here with this, Woody. You want your wife to give you a little more loving? Tell her how good she looks. Say, honey, woo, girlfriend. I look good on you. Come on, somebody. They go buy clothes so they can look good. I mean, and you don't want to say, I don't know how I can. No, women shop to buy clothes. Can I get a witness, women? Don't you shop to buy clothes that you think makes you look better, right? No woman in this building ever goes and said, I hope I can find the ugliest dress so I can look the worst. That never happens. So they go so they can buy something that makes them look slim. A lot of women wear black nowadays. Glory to God. Black is slimming. Whew. So what them no girdles you pull up to about right here too? Come on, somebody. They don't call them girdles anymore, do they? Do they make a girdle? Spanx. Spanx. S-P-A-N-X. Spanx. Spanx. I could preach right there too, but never mind. So, but you buy things to make you look good. And men, you're missing. I'm trying to help you men out. You're missing. They go to Belk, spend your money to make them look good, and you come up and go, No. The Bible says you praise and say, ooh, girlfriend, where did you? Oh, I wish you'd have bought that last year. Woo! That makes you, man, you look good in that. Two things are going to happen. Next week, she's going to spend more of your money. You might get a little loving. I'm just saying. Proverbs 31:31 says, reward her for all she has done and let her deeds publicly declare her praise. You ought to marry a godly woman. Women, you ought to be a godly woman, ought to be a godly mother. Guess what? And you don't have to go out and tell everybody. You don't have to put it on Facebook what you did. You don't have to put it on Facebook that you fed your kid a bottle. They're 3 months old. You're supposed to do that. Look what I did, I fed my baby. Well, when's the last time you fed it? You're supposed to do that. That's not a thing. Let the public see what you do. If that kid continues to live and started it, they'll say, I bet she fed him. This ain't hard. You don't have to tell the world all these crazy things. Well, I got up this morning, I was just so rushed, and tell you what, and I fed my kids breakfast, and I got ready for a job, and I dropped them off at daycare, and all, and then they were dressed. I've seen posts like that. And we even got everybody dressed. Well, what was the other option? That we weren't going to dress them and still drop them off? I know it's a little funny, but I'm just telling you, the Bible says that if you do what you do, don't worry about trying to put your deeds and accolades out there. They'll find you out. If your kid comes to daycare with a poopy diaper every day, you know what's going to find you out? That mother never changes that kid's diaper. But if they always come clean and wash and get the boogers out of their nose, all that stuff that you're supposed to do, and they show up and they say, man, that mom's got it together. That mom's got it together. That wife's got it together. All the kids always look so great and they're sharp and dressed. Man, they got it together. And some of you women are saying, but you never had a kid like little Johnny. Maybe not. I'm just saying, men and women, God has a plan for your life. And it is to be a godly woman. It's going to take work. It just doesn't happen. You're going to work at it and work at it. And you're going to say in your mind, all I do is work at it and it never seems to work. All I do is beat little Johnny. All I do is cook and clean. All I do is wash clothes. All I do is do this. I get up and go to work. And you're no help to me, sir. Husband, you're just no help to me. It's a good cue, husbands, to say something like this. You know, I've been noticing you. You've been doing a great job. Man, you got this thing together. Our kids are always clean. We got clean clothes. And, you know, I know sometimes the house gets a little cluttered, but man, you're doing an awesome job. The Bible said, I read it to you, if you praise her, it'll enrich your life. Come on, somebody. So why don't we try to build the family unit to be stronger in husbands and wives? Because I'm telling you, if the husband and wife's not strong, the kids won't be strong. And if the kids aren't strong, then we've got chaos in the families. Amen? So I want to say this in closing, that you don't have to show everybody and tell everybody what you're doing. As we read in Proverbs 31, I'll read it again. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. My grandfather used to say it this way. Proof is in the pudding. You can tell me how wonderful your banana pudding is. You can tell me everything you do and how you mix it and all that stuff. But when I taste it, I'm going to know. When people, you can tell me all the stuff you do, put all your highlight reels on of your wonderful life and family on Facebook. But when you show up, I'll get to see really what you are. So let's try to please God and not man. Mothers, you're doing a great job. You think, well, my life's in chaos. Well, it may be. But you keep doing what you're doing. You keep looking to God and he'll lead you and direct you. You keep bringing them to church. You keep telling them about Jesus. You keep reading Bible stories to them. Come on, somebody. There is a difference when you bring your kids to church and when you teach them about God. There is a difference. I've got proof. I've got 30 years of ministry proof that I could show you time and time again. I can about write a story for every person that comes through this church with a child. I can just about write their stories after about 6 months of what's going to happen. Not that I'm something special. I just see it. It's biblical. Moms, we love you. Men, I want you to stand up. Moms, I want... No. Moms, I want you to stand up. Men, you keep seated. Come on, mom, stand up. If we can have, while you're standing, if we can have our group of young people that's supposed to be at the back to hand out what they're going to be handing out, get your mother. She's managing this thing. Yeah, that group is. Are they back there? Because I'm early. Yeah, go up there and get, so before I release you, but here's what I want to do right now. Moms, you're all standing. Wave at me if you're a mom. Because something's not right here if you're standing up. Men, I want you to give the greatest hand. Now, we're not done after we get through the hand, because so don't run off. Men, I want you to give a great big hand clap to all of the mothers in this house. Woo-hoo! John, man. You guys are doing an awesome job. Now, this is what I want you to do. Now, if you're your husband's with you, or your significant other, whichever, or if you're a grandparent, a grandfather, I want you to stand up beside whoever you're sitting with, and I want you to whisper into mom's ear, you're doing a great job, and I'm proud of you. Some of you ain't never done this in your life. Come on, Ralph. I want to hear Ralph. Put the microphone over to Ralph. You're doing a great job. Tell him. Come on, men. You're doing a great job. You know who I'm thinking of. You're doing a great job, Samantha. You're doing a great job as being a mom. And so, he was out, wasn't he? Now, see, Daniel, here was the instructions that we lean over to our spouses and say, I want you to know you're doing a great job. Now, all the other men did, I need you to tell her in her ear, you're doing a great job, amen. Hey, don't let today just be that day. Would you do that tomorrow and the next day? It'll enrich your life, amen. Amen. Let me bless you before we go. Are we in place out there? When you leave here, look, we got some, glory to God, cake pops. Rusty, when I grew up, we had chicken on a stick, that kind of lollipop. This is a cake on a stick with icing and everything, and they are good. I want to encourage you ladies, only take one because anything left over, I'm taking to my house. No, I'm kidding. Look, there's plenty out there. We want you to get one of those. It's just a little thing. Hey, say thank you for being a good mom. There's a photo place out here. Please don't gather in front of it. We're going to let moms, if you want to take pictures with your family or whoever you got here, get in front of that. Samantha and my wife, they took time to put all that up and decorate that. So we want you to go by there and take a picture with your kids, grandkids, even if your husband, whatever. And you can Photoshop him out. And so, amen. So do that right after. Let me bless you. Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these women, Lord, that have come together today. I thank you for the mothers, Lord, in this house, Lord. Godly mothers that teach their kids and train them in the ways of the Lord. I thank you for them, Lord. Father, I pray that, Lord, something today was said to encourage us to be a better person, a better woman, a better mother, Lord, a better husband to the mother of our children and grandchildren, Lord. I thank you. And Lord, I pray as we leave that we'd find favor with God and man. That your face would shine upon us. Lord, that prosperity increases, promotions, raises, increases would come our way. And Lord, that peace would rest over every rooftop. That when we lay down this afternoon or tonight, that sweet sleep would come to our physical bodies and our spiritual souls. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Hey, love on somebody. Take time to come by and get you a picture out here. If you need somebody to stand in for you, I'll do it.